Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank? The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look in a premium gold luxe packaging. It's all about panoramic volume and fully fanned out lashes. With its tapered brush, the new Panorama Mascara catches every single lash, giving you the false lash look without any of the hassle. Say goodbye to clumps and flakes, because this mascara is specially formulated to resist them all day with up to 24-hour wear. And the best part? It performs better than luxe mascaras at only a fraction of the cost. You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today.
Doug hates candy wrappers, screaming baby sticky seeds with 50 as in popcorn kernels in his teeth. There's still not one that he won't see, 'cause Doug loves movies.
Hey, 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 everybody. My name is Doug, and I love movies. This is Doug Loves Movies coming to you once again for more movie talk and trivia. It's Sunday, March 6, 2022, and my guests today are Nikki Bond, Josh Gondelman, and Sarah Marshall. Hello, everybody.
Hey.
Hi.
Hi, Doug.
Hello. I like the three of you already worked that out and spoke individually. I appreciate that. But we've let's meet everybody.
Kind of a synchronized Von Trapp thing we've been working on.
Yeah, you really came together quickly for bunch of strangers, and let's meet everybody individually and alphabetically. That's my way of hinting, so you know when you're about to be spoken to. Beginning with Nikki Bone is back. Hey, Nikki.
I'm back. Hey,
you are. You had a super hot run for a while there. I think you won like three or four shows in a row.
Yeah, it was wild. I didn't deserve it.
You didn't deserve any of it, but that was part of the charm, is that it was just fun that you kept coming back so undeservedly, and a terrific guest nonetheless. And how are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. Yeah,
that's good. That's good.
Same as before. Have
you seen the Batman?
I haven't seen the Batman yet. No.
Shit, I brought it up because I have.
Oh, you did? Did you like it?
I've said too much. Also joining us today.
So I won't see it. Okay.
I'm so afraid of the things my mouth will say about it. You know, I don't want to get anybody mad at me for any reason. You know, like I don't want anybody thinking I liked it too much or didn't like it enough. Also joining us, it's the return of Josh Gondelman. Hey, Josh.
Hey, Doug. Thanks for having me. Happy to be here.
Holding it down in New York City.
That's me, East Coast correspondent to Doug Loves Movies.
Is winter over yet?
Today it is. Tomorrow it's back.
Oh, damn it.
Yeah.
I'm going to be there in April, so I really appreciate anything you could do to get that winter out of here.
I'll do my best. I'm cranking my AC. It's very uncomfortable in my house, but I've slightly accelerated climate change.
Just a tiny, tiny bit, but every little bit.
Right. Think globally, act locally. That's my motto. Yeah. I came up with that.
And making her first appearance on the show, you heard me say her name already. It might have already been taken aback as a bunch of movie fans, because it's a real person named Sarah Marshall. Hello, Sarah.
Hi, it's me. I'm real.
Yeah, were your parents big fans of that movie? Ha 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 ha.
Ha ha ha. It's funny, that movie is like a classic now, and it comes up on like classic comedies lists on like Delta Airlines, which
I mean,
I feel like we're gonna turn to dust and blow away.
It's got some classic dong, that movie, for sure.
Male nudity in comedy, I would say, actually. I feel proud.
Probably a real breakthrough for male nudity and for weird puppetry. But not puppetry to the penis, we should say that. But is it we could talk about this. I'd love to have you on Doug, Wide World of Doug sometimes, because we talk about names over there. Mm-hmm. And how does it affect you when, like, how often do people react to the name Sarah Marshall, like, in an annoying way?
At this stage, I mean, not to me, to my face very often. What happens is that approximately twice a year, I'll be buying something with a credit card. And then we'll look at it and go, I love that movie. So it's like always a positive association for people. No one's ever been like, I hate that Russell Brand guy.
Right. Or there's not, that's one of those casts that's held up pretty good. I don't think anyone's become problematic or anything.
Yeah, and man.
Yeah. I mean, Mila Kunis is always on the edge, but you know, she she stays on the tightrope. I didn't like her Super Bowl commercial though. So, thank you for being here, Sarah. You have a podcast of your own, yes?
I have two. Yeah, I have a show called You're Wrong About and a show called You Are Good. I love to speak directly to the listener, apparently.
Yeah, I tell them they're wrong about one thing, but they're good on another thing.
Yeah. And that is kind of my ethos. It's like, listen, we're all wrong and we're all good.
And what, can you tell me quickly what the premise is of the two podcasts?
Yeah, You Are Good is a feelings podcast about movies. We had Josh on recently talking about Groundhog Day. And so it's using talking about movies to talk about the experience of being human and find shared language about something you love. And You're Wrong About is about misremembered history and why humans don't love facts, which has become the past few years.
Yes, that's become very, very clear. we'll do all everybody's plugs at the end of the show. I just wanted to get Sarah's in since she's a first timer. We're going to play some games. But before we start that part of the show, I would like to visit what I call Recommendation Nation. And that's where I ask each one of my guests to please recommend one movie. It can be any movie, but just make sure it's something that you would, you know, you personally recommend. And we'll again go alphabetically, starting with Nikki.
Only you.
Unless you're not ready.
No, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I know I forgot about this part and then I was like, oh, fuck. But no. the first thing that came to my head is actually Only You. It's an old one.
Is Betty White in that?
No, it's Marissa Tomei and Robert Downey Jr.
Oh, yeah. I know what you're talking about now. And why do you like it?
It just is. It's a rom-com, but it was just so, maybe it's because I was a kid and I grew up with a single mom. So I had to watch all these stupid rom-coms while she fantasized about men. So, but that was like the only one that I really liked and I looked up to, and they go to Italy and the drama is good and realistic, but I really like the characters. They're very charming.
I feel like they fall into a fountain at some point.
They do. They do fall into a fountain.
Okay, so I have seen this.
I didn't know if that was just a hunch. If you're like, this seems like a movie where they'd fall into a fountain.
I mean, once somebody's already said rom-com, you're in pretty good shapes thinking mm-hmm. somebody might fall into a fountain. It seems like a staple.
And it revolves around a fountain. Like, then there's this mystical fountain that you go to find your soulmate. Listen, as I'm describing it, I'm like, you know what? Maybe I don't recommend it, but I really like it. Maybe I take it back. Okay. That wasn't my best.
I mean, you know, you should just pitch it to dudes that like Marvel movies as Tony Stark's origin story.
Yeah.
You know, that he started off with this magical fountain. But that's why I remember the fountain. Cause it really is the whole point of the movie is the magical fountain. So, I can't be too proud of myself for sussing that out. Josh Gondelman.
Yes.
What have you got?
This, I'm going to stay in the same zone of movies, but recommend a movie that's like a non-rom-com, but has the same kind of arc and energy, which I really thought Together with Patty Harrison and Ed Helms is very sweet and fun. And I went into it thinking it was going to be a rom-com, and then I watched it with my wife, and 15 minutes in, she was like, Ed Helms is so, he's so good at being hard to watch that I hope they don't fall in love. I think it's like a reverse spoiler to me to be like, this is not a movie about watching two people fall in love. It's a movie about a relationship between two people that's very like sweet and tender, but it's not like, ooh, they're gonna kiss. And like coming in thinking it was gonna be that, I was like, this is uncomfortable. And then when it became like, oh, what a lovely, different new relationship that I've never seen before, I was like, cool, this movie rules.
Yeah, they're both great in it. And it's,
they're so good. Patty's so good.
She's terrific. She's like, it's funny that she's such a great actress considering, you know, in her spare time, she's just, you know, saying insane things and getting kicked off social media.
She's so funny. And Rachel Syme just did a great interview with her for The New Yorker that was great. And I recommend that reading that as well. It's like, yeah, just Patty's awesome.
I beg you not to recommend things for people to read. This is Doug Loves Movies.
Sorry, it's not called Doug Loves Articles.
The only articles I love are the ones in the Constitution. All right, so Sarah Marshall, first time on the show. Could you recommend a movie?
Yes. Oh my gosh. Okay.
I know, it's pressure because there's so many to choose from.
There's a lot of movies. There's at least 25 of them.
I lock up on this. Like if people ask me, I'm like, and they're like, what have you seen lately that you like? If the last movie I saw wasn't great, I can't.
Yeah.
I can't pull it. I can't access it.
I know. I've seen some, but where? Yeah. But well, Nikki, I want to second Only You, which I think is a very underrated rom-com and one where like, everyone in it is wonderful. We have Bonnie Hunt, we have Fisher Stevens, like you can't go wrong. And I also want to stay in the early 90s and recommend Swing Kids, which I was reminded of the other day.
Wow.
Like, do you remember Swing Kids?
I do remember Swing Kids because couldn't you consider it kind of a kissing cousin of Newsies?
Exactly. Kind of
a Christian Bale teen history film of the early 90s.
It's the two sides of the Christian Bale coin, for one thing, which I think we've been living in the aftermath of cinematically ever since. And also, I mean, here's my pitch is that, and you know, if you haven't seen Newsies, then my gosh, get thyself to Newsies. But Newsies is a Disney musical about the 1899 newsboys strike. And Swing Kids is a movie about teenagers who love swing music in Hitler's Germany and trying to, what happens when your friends become Nazis and the normalization of people becoming Nazis. good music, and they're both unbelievably earnest movies that I don't think made any money and that have been beloved by tween girls since that day. And a lot of people saw it in school.
I saw it in school, which thinking back, I'm like, there probably is better World War II educational material I could have been exposed
to. There should be.
But I love that you were talking about both of those movies because one is about us, all your friends turning into Nazis, and the other one is all your friends turning into Newsies.
They both have great songs, and yeah, and it's very weird for, I think as a tween girl, like watching Christian Bale, who is also Laurie in Little Women, like watching him become a fascist, like hopefully it prepared people in a way that is somewhat useful now for the idea that like, people you otherwise care about can become eaten out inside by something horrible.
Yeah, now this sounds like we're getting back to your podcast.
It's a short trip, yeah.
Yeah, you delve into the how these things make us feel, and I think that's really interesting. And these are three you know, I would not have ever imagined these three movies coming up in this this sort of situation. I always post them all on the Doug Loves Movies Twitter account in you know poll fashion, and let people tell me which of you know. And it's ridiculous to compare these movies. They're all you know different, but you know that's what we do these days is just make fun lists and polls and stuff. So. If any of those three movies, to the listeners, if any of those three movies, if you're passionate about any of them, be sure to vote. It's so important. So important to vote.
And stay in line. If you're in line to vote in this poll, stay in line.
And wear your sticker. Wear your sticker.
Yeah. And people, please just bring them water if they need it. Like, don't, you know, just this is voting is so important. thank you for visiting Recommendation Nation. Let's go to our first commercial break. We'll be right back.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
This episode is brought to you by Philo. Do you love TV? Do you love saving money? Then Philo is your solution. Philo has shows, movies, and live TV for just $25 a month. You can even try it for free with their 7-day free trial. No contracts, no commitments, no hassles, just a better way to watch TV. Never miss a minute of shows like the hit docuseries Where is Wendy Williams? Or classics such as Friends. If you can't get enough TV, then there's no better way to watch. Philo has more than 70 channels like BET, MTV, and AMC. And the best part? You can try it yourself with their 7-day free trial. Sign up today at philo.tv/poppods. That's philo.tv/poppods to get 50% off your first month.
We are back and we are going to play some games. How do you, Sarah Marshall, feel about, you know, movie trivia gameplay?
Very positively.
Oh, good. That's nice. That's nice to hear. And we already know that Josh is quite the fierce competitor. And
You know what we is. I'm bad, but I take it very seriously, which is just a brutal combination for my own psyche.
It seems like a lot of comedians, they don't spend their time learning trivia, but then they are very competitive when they get in a trivia situation.
Yeah. It's a horrible personality trait pairing.
I like watching the old game shows. I like Buzzer and stuff because it's interesting to see the actors, they get mad when they're losing, when it's not going well. Because like game shows these days, it's like everybody wears their emotions on their sleeves. They don't really try to hide it. But back in the day, they'd sit there and get so frustrated and try to hide it. It makes it even funnier. This first game we're going to play is called Whose Tagline Is It Anyway? And, most motion pictures have some sort of advertising tagline or something that's on the poster or at the end of the trailer. And I pull these, they're real taglines that I pull from the IMDb site. And I will say the tagline. We'll start with Nikki. I'll tell you the tagline. You just have one guess what movie you think it might be. If you miss, we'll move to Josh and then to Sarah and around like that. And a theme will emerge from these titles. Of course, the first one's going to be the toughest because, how can you know what the theme's going to be? It's like getting Wordle right on the first word. Ready, Nikki?
Yeah. We know how this is going to go. Can I tell you right now? Not ready, but let's do this.
Okay, yeah. That's all I need to hear.
Wait, Nikki, how did you win these previous games if this is your reputation? Did other people like resign in disgrace from the podcast?
I was at the end. The questions at the end, which were more like for me analyzing people and being able to answer.
Got it. Okay. Sorry to interrupt.
Yeah, and the games change all the time. So, you know, you don't know what skills you're going to need to bring, but there's more of a multiple choice aspect to everything, or at least the next game, because this game, of course, you just have to pull a title out of nowhere. And here is the tagline, Nikki.
Okay.
Mothers, and I'm gonna explain the punctuation too, because it's always interesting when they put punctuation in these things. Mothers, period. Daughters, period. The never-ending story of good versus evil.
Little Women.
I mean, might as well be, right? I don't know. I don't know how much evil gets in there, but that wouldn't be a terrible. I mean, it would be a terrible tagline for Little Women, but. A terrific guess.
Thank you.
Josh?
I'm going to guess The Exorcist.
Yeah. If it was just mother and daughter, the never-ending story of good versus evil, I think that could work for The Exorcist, but no, that is not. Oh, I forgot I have a sound effect for wrong answers. All right. My sound effects team isn't here today. They, you know, I gave them a weekend off. All right, Sarah, this one's all you. If you can figure out what movie would have the tagline "Mothers, Daughters, the Never-Ending Story of Good versus Evil," wouldn't it be funny if the answer was the Never-Ending Story?
That's what I was going to guess.
That would be such a situation. I mean, I'm not super confident in this, but this is the only thing I can think of. I'm going to say Practical Magic.
That's another terrific guess. Let's see, you're all applying yourselves and coming up with guesses that make sense, which is not something that often happens on here. Usually people are just like, I don't know. The answer to this one is a title I've always enjoyed. The movie, maybe not so much, but the title I love. The Divine Secrets of the Ya-Ya Sisterhood.
Forgot about the good and evil in that one.
Right? I had no idea it had good and evil in it. I thought it was a sisterhood. What's the bad part?
Right. When I think good and evil, I'm thinking Midnight in the Garden, not Divine Sister Secrets.
It's a little bit of a surprise, and that's why I picked that one. And that's the first title. So you can start thinking this on this next one. You can think, well, what theme is going on here? What does this have to do with the Divine Secrets of the Ya-Ya Sisterhood? Mm-hmm. And we start with Nikki again this time. Nikki, what movie do you think has the tagline, "Some Friends Fit Together"? Oh, I just thought of a good one, but it's not the right answer, but I thought of a good one.
Hocus Pocus.
Incorrect. Josh?
I think I know this. I think it is Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants.
You do?
That's my guess. I feel strongly.
Okay. You don't, you know, a guess is a guess. You don't have to, you know, commit to it any particular amount.
I want to commit. Okay. You deserve my full commitment.
All right. Here we go. Is it right or is it wrong? Oh, it's wrong.
Ah!
It's happening. Damn. Sarah Marshall.
Man.
Yeah.
Friends fit together. I'm trying to think of this being like an arch horror movie tagline about someone who like sews people together. I'm not gonna say it's Human Centipede. Okay, I don't think this is right, but it's all I can think of as a plausible guess. Stuck on You.
That's not a bad guess. Not a bad guess at all. Now this answer might make you angry, Josh. Because that's the tagline for.
Is this Sisterhood
of the Traveling Pants 2?
Fuck!
No!
Doug?
No!
That is fair, But I would like it entered into the record. Fuck.
Okay. F. Got it. But also enter into the record that, I mean, you know, you were in the ballpark. I mean, you got as close to the right answer as you could possibly get without getting it right.
The expression isn't almost counts in horseshoes, hand grenades, and Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants films, though.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely isn't. Okay. We got nobody on the board yet. Okay. We still got a few more to go, so anything could happen. Plus, the first game doesn't, you know, it's more of a warm-up than anything.
Oh, good, good. Yeah, I know.
I'm getting
yeah.
heated.
Yeah. Get it hot. Nikki?
Yep.
Which movie do you think has this tagline? I'm going to do the punctuation again. No sex, period. No booze, period. No men, period. No way, period.
Bridesmaids.
No, but I do like that movie.
Okay.
You get a Doug likes that movie point.
Okay.
Which isn't worth anything. All Josh?
Right. I got no sex, no booze. And I was like, 40 days and 40 nights is the closest I got. And then no men, no way. And I was like, that he was a man. So I'm like befuddled by that. I'm going to go... this is wrong, but it's closer than I was going to get otherwise, is 28 days.
The Sandy Bullock rehab.
She was
movie.
In rehab, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
I figured they didn't let her have sex in that rehab facility.
Which is so confusing because, you know, not too long after that, the movie 28 Days Later came out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I just like to think that somebody made the mistake and had to watch the wrong movie out of those two movies. For you know, sure like they wanted to see a rehab movie and they saw a zombie movie, or they wanted to see a zombie movie and they saw a rehab movie. In either case, it's a wild twist.
That 100% happened. And I'm sure of that because one time my mom confessed to me that she accidentally spent 20 minutes watching a premium cable softcore porn parody called The Devil Wears Nada, being like, when does Meryl Streep come on the screen? So I'm sure someone has made that mistake with 28 Days and 28 Days Later.
Absolutely. Whose turn is it?
Mine, I believe.
Okay. No booze, no sex, no booze, no men, no way.
I think I've cracked it.
Okay.
Sister Act.
That is correct.
Oh, Sister Act, of course.
You did it. Sarah Marshall is on the board with 1 point. What an exciting turn.
And Maria. Nikki and I have none, fittingly.
None, yeah. I have a fake point. I have a pity point that doesn't exist, but...
It's the Holy Ghost point.
Yeah. It's, you know, it's like the thing that, you know, it's like oxygen, you know, like it's good, you know, it's good for you, even though it doesn't mean anything. Even though you can't hold it, it's still, you need it. Okay. Nikki gets to go first again. And these have all been terrific guesses. So I want everyone to know that, you know, you're all terrific players, but Sarah, of course, has actually cracked the code for one correct answer. And Nikki gets to go first again. And this one is only three words with an exclamation point. A comedy triumph.
Really calling their shot with the tagline.
And, you know, usually there's multiple taglines. In this case, there was no other options. They just thought, this describes our movie. It's a comedy triumph.
The comedy just throws me off. The Other Sister. I don't even know if that's a comedy.
You know what? The movie directed by... what's his name? Gary Marshall. Is that what you're talking about with
Doug,
where they play Giovanni Ribisi? And
yes, that's the Other Sister, right?
The Other Sister, yeah.
But I was like, do you think I'm gonna know the name of the director?
Yeah, Gary Marshall directed that, and it was supposed to be funny, but it was, I find it very hard to watch. It's right up there with I Am Sam for like capable actors playing, you know, challenged characters, and it's rough.
I'm gonna guess it's the wrong answer.
Oh, I didn't make the noise yet.
No, but
there you go. That should be more of an element on game shows where the contestant goes, so was I right or wrong? Are you gonna elucidate? All right, so everybody took a crack at this one?
No, I think just Nikki so far.
Just me.
Okay, Josh.
I'm really having trouble scraping for other sister movies, so I'm just gonna cover my own butt and say Sister Act 2.
Do you happen to know the full title of that movie?
Sister Act 2, Back in the Habit.
Whoa!
That is correct. You did it.
That's game theory, baby.
Yeah. No, you figured out what was going on there. That, like, why would he say just a comedy triumph and expect us to pull it out of nowhere? Mm-hmm.
If this one had been Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants 1, though, I would have dove through my closed window.
All right. This is exciting because, we have Josh and Sarah each have 1 point. I've got one more. So Nikki has a chance to just make it a three-way tie, or Josh or Sarah will win this game. And Sarah gets to go first because Josh got that last one. Sarah, this one is laugh period, cry period, share the pants period.
No. Doug,
God damn it.
No, why didn't I get to go first this time? The one time I don't get to go first?
Yeah, there's a randomness to this, unfortunately. Since Josh got the last one, then Sarah starts this round. And please go ahead and confirm that we all know what the answer is.
Oh, it's got to be the early Bob Fosse film, My Sister Eileen, right? No.
Don't toy with me, Marshall.
You have to say it just to make it official.
Okay. It is the Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants. God bless us all.
I mean, I would have been so happy if I stumbled onto a movie talking about sharing the pants in the in the tagline, and it has nothing. It's not one of those pants movies,
right?
But no, you got it right. I put a super easy one there at the end just to try to make sure we end up with a winner. And Sarah, you did it. Congratulations.
I really guess. It. Thank you.
Guess what you win?
A new car.
No, it's not quite as good as that. You get to go first in the next game.
Oh, that's much better.
Yeah. Might not even be. Actually, it's a slight advantage in this next game. And we will play that game after this break. We'll be right back.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
We are back, and it's time for a game that I call Filmily Feud. It's like Family Feud, but all the questions generally are movie related. What I do is I come up with a silly movie question. I jump on my Twitter account and I do one of them polls. And once I get 100 people to respond, I immediately delete it, pretend it never happened. But I write down the percentages of their answers. So the idea here is you want to pick the answer that got the highest percentage points, because then that's how many points you get. We'll start with Sarah. Like I said, each of you will get to go first once, and then there is a tiebreaker that Sarah will get to go first on if she, you know, if we need a tiebreaker. So that's why winning is important, Sarah. Winning that last game. I mean, that's okay. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I spent the whole break thinking about a Method Man and Red Man two-hander reboot of Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants called How High Waisted, and the tagline is Puff Puff Pants. That's just how my brain does things.
I mean, you used that time well. I think that was a good, you know, instead of just sitting there, you thought of that.
Yeah, I came up with Hollywood gold.
You made the world more beautiful.
Method and Red Man should be, you know, looking for another, you know, another vehicle, because I'm shocked they didn't really follow up How High.
I know. They should be in more movies. This is just, if anyone listening makes movies and they're looking for two guys to be in them, Method Man and Red Man. Or I guess, you know, professionally I'm obligated to also say, Desus and Mero are very funny, which I believe, but I didn't want to leave them out.
Right. You know, unfortunately, they might be the new Method Man and Red Man. but, you know, that's a great torch. They're all great. Go ahead and pass it. First round, I went on Twitter I'm going to tell you all the answers, all the options that I gave the voters. And then Sarah will pick one. And then from the remaining three answers, Nikki will pick one, and then Josh will pick one. And then, you know, like I said, the order will skip around so that, you know, somebody will get first crack at these at least once. So the first one I did was I just wrote two words with a question mark, and it was inspired by Sam Elliott getting so upset over Power of the Dog. I just asked the question, gayest Western. And the options are Brokeback Mountain, The Power of the Dog, Midnight Cowboy, and True Grit. Which one do you think, on a poll where people are just voting, not necessarily with their heart, but with their humorous bone, which one prevailed as just gayest Western, question mark?
This is a real Iocane powder moment for me, because I'm trying to psychologize like the being that Twitter combines to be, where like obviously Brokeback Mountain is literally the gayest of all these Westerns because it's about gay cowboys. And then Midnight Cowboy would actually be like kind of an on the nose answer in a sort of bittersweet way, because it's about like doomed love and friendship between two men in a scary place. And then there's Power of the Dog, and then True Grit, which is just
True Grit. And I didn't say which one. It's been made twice.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I didn't even clarify.
I assume most people picture Jeff Bridges at this point, or at least people answering this poll. And that's just like a movie that I think holds up well and people respect. And then if you vote for Power of the Dog, then you would do so, I assume, largely despite Sam Elliott. And so that's what I'm going to guess people did.
Oh, you're saying they went to Power of the Dog?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, Nikki was mentioned earlier that this is the sort of game she's good at. Of the remaining three, which do you think the Twitter folks called the gayest?
I think it's Brokeback Mountain.
Like, yeah?
Don't Brokeback Mountain me, man. Yeah.
Oh, that's what guys say to each other. Like if one kisses the other one, they say that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, hey, man.
Brokeback Mountain.
I'm glad they have a new expression with Power of the Dog. That's part in some ways more fun to say.
Yes. I say Brokeback Mountain.
Okay. Josh, you got True Grit or Midnight Cowboy? Which one got the most votes?
Out of those two, I'm going to go Midnight Cowboy.
Okay. I threw True Grit in, you know, not only because I don't really think there's either version, John Wayne or Jeff Bridges, I don't think there's anything particularly gay about either of them, you know, other than the fact it's just men out in the wilderness. But I just have always loved the title True Grit. Like anytime I'm playing charades and somebody says two words, I just yell True Grit on the off chance. It's never right.
I wish that that was one of the bars in the Kanye West song, two words, like two words, True Grit, yay spit, whatever, you know. I was just thinking about it because I was watching the Kanye documentary.
All right, let's break it down. I'm sad to say that the movie that got the least amount of votes is the gayest Western. I don't know how to feel about this. At merely 8% is The Power of the Dog.
I don't know the people at all.
I'm guessing they're like reacting to like how closeted the gay characters are, you know, throughout the film.
And they never fuck, you know? There's no sex.
Hey, spoiler.
Oh, oops. I thought, okay, this is, you know, sometimes you go to a movie with a misconception. I thought The Power of the Dog was, it was like a dog that could make any two people fuck with its mind.
I thought it was like Marley and Me or something. I was very surprised by the discourse around it.
Yeah, it's a that's part of what I love about it is that, you know, most titles are just so clearly just the name of a character or something these days, but Power of the Dog, really, it's a real thinker. Anybody can kind of interpret why it's called that, yeah. Sort of on their own.
Anyone can sing, "That's the power of dog," which is what I did when I walked in and my wife was watching that movie on Netflix and I had to leave.
Huey Lewis and the Bad News. All right. Coming in next with 21% of the vote. I don't know what people were thinking. Was True Grit.
What?
Yeah. I don't know why it got so many votes. But again, because people just are silly.
It's like about an adult man and a little girl.
Yeah. I mean, you know, like when you watch Family Feud, the people they ask the questions to are people that are attending a taping of Family Feud. So the answers get a little a little silly sometimes.
I've never heard that before. That's a good point, though.
Just like, what is the proper size for a suit? And the whole audience is like, way too big.
Well, that's what's funny, too, now is they work him into so many questions. So many questions are like, what's the sexiest thing about Steve Harvey? And then he has to listen to these people guess at what's sexy about him. And, you know, mustache and bald head come up and one he likes and the other he doesn't like so much. Mm-hmm. All right. So the top answer with 45% is Brokeback Mountain.
Yeah.
I mean, we had narrowed it down to just that title anyway. So,
Yeah,
so that was a big one. I didn't expect it to go that big just because of how silly people can be and how Power of the Dog is like so current. So I'm sorry that curveball hit you, Sarah, but there's, you know, so many opportunities. People have won this game, you know, even when they pick a name that's the only one left after everybody's picked at everything. Sometimes that'll be the number one answer. So round number two starts with Nikki.
Okay.
And here's what I wrote. Who would look best with Sam Elliott's mustache on their face? And I gave four options. Sam Neill, Chris Elliott, Elle Fanning, or Benedict Cumberbatch?
Elle Fanning.
Right?
Yeah.
She would look great with a big old bushy mustache.
Yeah. Kind of matches her hair a little bit, you know?
Yeah. Great actress. She can do it all.
Yeah.
Josh, what do you think?
I feel like it's hard to see the words Benedict Cumberbatch in a poll and not select them. So I'm going to go with my gut and say Benedict Cumberbatch.
Right? That name goes so far out of its way to entertain and delight that you have to take advantage of it.
Right. How could I ignore and discredit the power of Benedict Cumberbatch, the name?
The countless parody names they could come up with in a Mad Magazine, you know, Power of the Dog parody. Okay, Sarah, that leaves Mr. Sam Neill, who recently reunited with Jeff Goldblum and Laura Dern for some reason. Mm-hmm. I saw lots of pictures of the three of them together. And the great Chris Elliott, who, of course, we know now from Schitt's Creek, but Cabin Boy and all that other stuff. Gosh. Which one do you think got more of the vote?
I have to assume Sam Neill, because he's, you know, an iconic zaddy, and it just makes, like, that mustache makes sense on him given his connection to dinosaurs. And like, that when you think about cowboys and dinosaurs, like, those just go together. Like, I'm surprised we haven't had more dinosaur boy movies.
Yeah, I don't know why, you know, they don't ride these dinosaurs in these Jurassic Park movies. They seem like they'd be fun to jump up on top of.
I just want to see more like futuristic roaming the range, looking after the like grazing brontosauruses movies.
If Jurassic Park was real, for sure someone would be fired week one for trying to ride the dinosaurs when they're closed.
Fired or eaten, yeah.
Fired or eaten, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you'd start with an herbivore.
There's two ways to leave Jurassic Park as an employee.
I came here to ride dinosaurs and get eaten by dinosaurs, and I'm all out of riding dinosaurs.
Well, this is another one that the results are always surprising, but the first thing I'm going to say that everyone's going to be shocked by is that Sam Neill and Chris Elliott got the exact same percentage. Like, people couldn't decide between those two. But I'll start with the lowest percentage, which is, unfortunately, people don't want to see Elle Fanning in a mustache. God. She only got 22% of the vote.
2022 people, get used
right?
to it, you know?
Yeah, come on. And then Sam Neill and Chris Elliott each got just one more percentage, 23 each.
Splitting the Sam Elliott vote, fittingly.
Yeah. Yeah, well, and it's like, there's like, you know, these four names just basically split the vote four ways, because then Benedict Cumberbatch has the remaining 32%.
I think they just want to see his face. They're like, we don't really care. We just want to look at him.
Right.
Handsome gentleman.
Mm-hmm. Also, Sam Neill, like, if one of these people has his mustache, then, what, you know, he's going to have no mustache? That doesn't seem right.
Oh, so, yeah. Sam Elliott just out there bare-lipped?
Yeah. I assume it's happened, but it's got to be weird.
Mm-hmm. I'll catch his death.
But I feel like he's always had a mustache, because I'm thinking back to, like, in, you know, the movie Lifeguard, you know, one of the first things that kind of made him popular was when he was a lifeguard, he had that big, you know, he had that like Tom Selleck mustache going back then. Really exciting scores here. It looks like Nikki is in the lead with with 67 points, and Josh is not far behind with 58, and Sarah's got 31, but still anybody's game looking at the numbers on this next question. Like I said, I saw the Batman today, and I want to ask a question that's Batman related, because I read that Jonah Hill is in negotiations to appear in the next The Batman, The Batman 2, but...
The's Batman.
But they're negotiating not only salary, but also they haven't decided what character he's going to play. They've just decided he's going to be in the movie. So they have to pick, like, who he's going to be. And there's lots of, you know, villains that have not been played on the screen in a big way yet. So the question I posed on Twitter is, Jonah Hill should play blank in the next, you know, in the Batman 2. And the options are characters named Clock King, Calendar Man, Hugo Strange, or Poison Ivy. And Josh goes first on this one. Out of those four names, which one do you think? Are you familiar with these villains at all, Josh?
I'm familiar with Poison Ivy. I am, who's the strange one? I can imagine Clock King and Calendar Man. Was not sure if they were real or if you made them up for this. I mean, I guess none of them are real. Like, none of them have actually terrorized Gotham City.
Yeah, they're villains that I found, you know, that I know exist, but like I can't, you know, I can't remember any time I've seen them in anything because I don't read the comics so much.
Yep. I guess the I'm going to go with the one that that feels the most that feels the most of an outlier from the other three to get some separation. I'm going to go with Poison Ivy.
Okay. Sarah, what do you think?
I mean, you know, I don't want to live in a world where Poison Ivy isn't the winner. And I guess I would hope that, or I would imagine that the next winningest pick would be Hugo Strange, because that's just like, that looks like something a Jonah Hill character could be named. And he just looks like a Hugo. I'm into it.
Okay. I like when, you know, the logic behind these answers. Nikki, the remaining options are, which ones are left? Calendar Man and Clock King.
All right. Both has to do with time and the way that the world works. So this is pretty hard. I'm going to go Clock King because Jonah Hill's face could look like a clock sometimes, maybe.
Hmm. Okay. I mean, he's a versatile actor.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
I think his face could look like a clock or a calendar.
That, you know what? Well, I don't see the like square aspect. So I went for the more round, like a face. Yeah.
And I don't know what's going on with Hugo Strange. Like, is he related to Doctor Strange? Like, does Doctor Strange have a nephew that turns into a villain or something?
He's
Doctor Strange, his little nephew, who he left at the library. And he's just an annoying little nerd who tells you facts. He's like the kid in Jerry Maguire, in my head canon.
I feel like if you met Hugo Strange, you'd be like, I know you probably get this all the time, but are you related to Doctor Strange, the famous villain? You'd have to ask.
Yeah.
And he would
Doctor Strange is a good guy. Right?
Oh, right. Sorry.
Yeah, yeah. That's all
the
right.
Famous good guy. I'm
also mm-hmm. It's awkward at their cookouts.
Yeah, because I think that's what happens is like that he becomes evil because he's just jealous of his, you know, his uncle who's a doctor and wears really cool capes.
That is like a real tight relationship between uncle and nephew, right? To like be so jealous of your uncle that it turns you into a villain. There's like nothing my uncle, and I love my uncle and my other uncle, rest in peace, but there's nothing they could have done that would have made me like a full-on villain out of jealousy.
Well, here's how this breaks down. Clock King, I'm sorry, Nikki. People were least interested in him. Also, I guess King makes it a him, but I shouldn't assume. 11% of the vote.
Wow.
Yeah. Calendar Man only got 20. So, you know, it wasn't.
Right.
That difference wasn't going to mean anything. Because Hugo Strange got 18%.
Mm.
Yeah. And people really want to see Jonah Hill play Poison Ivy.
Well, good. We should all want that because then it can happen.
Yeah, 51%. Congratulations, Josh Gondelman. You are our winner.
Thank you. Wow. This feels good in a way that I don't like what that says about me. So thank you.
Wait, I just need to address. So they want Jonah Hill to play Poison Ivy, but they don't want Elle Fanning to wear a mustache.
Yeah, it's a pretty sexist crowd I got following me on the socials.
Doug, if you're the Family Feud host, I'm going to tell you, your crowd.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my crowd is
very sexist.
Is way off and very unpredictable. And that's, you know, for me, part of the fun. So congratulations, Josh. You get to go first in the plug portion of the show. Promote yourself.
Oh, thank you so much. I Desus and Mero on Showtime, where I work, is coming back this Thursday, March 10th. Our guest is Denzel Washington. I'm super psyched for this season. It's going to be a lot of fun. And I'm starting to do stand-up again. I just updated my calendar, mostly around New York, but hopefully getting out there in the world more later this year. So joshgondelman.com.
Denzel.
Yeah.
Like that's too, I don't know how, if I'd be able to handle, like, did you talk to him or are you?
I didn't. I watched from like, from my office, I watched on Zoom. The interview is awesome. It's so fun. He was great. They were great. It's like, I'm like really psyched for people to see it. It was a blast.
Right. Cause Denzel's more fun than people would think.
He really, like, from the jump was like super into, he's like very funny, very candid. There's like a couple moments that I don't want to spoil, but it is just like a delightful interview. And he is like from word one, he's just like all in on having a good time and like answering sincere questions and like giving like fun, sincere answers. It's like truly, I watched it. They talked for like 40 minutes and it was a blast.
Get your Showtime subscriptions updated, everybody.
Hell yeah. that you canceled after Yellow Jackets ended or whatever.
Right? It's just a game now where you just get, you know, get these month trial things and just dip in and out and
get new emails.
Yeah.
Yeah, burner emails, Nikki. Yeah. Is that what you said?
Yep.
Are you selling drugs? No, I'm just doing streaming services.
What's my email? freemonth@gmail.com.
I don't know why. Whenever like somebody asks for my email, you know how sometimes they ask for it and you know it's not going to affect, like you're just like, you just want to make your point or whatever. You know, you don't need them to contact you, so you can just put anything for your email. I am so juvenile in that moment, the things I put. I don't know why. I think it's funny to put something ridiculous, like somebody might see it and be like, what the fuck? Anyway, let's talk to Sarah Marshall about what she's got to plug. What do you want people to check out?
Yeah, I mean, really what I said before, my podcast, You Are Good, a feelings podcast about movies, featuring Josh Gondelman on an episode recently. Really fun.
So fun. Thank you so much for having me. It was like truly a delight.
Did you cry?
I didn't. Well, we
I
talked
know,
about.
I cried.
I might have teared up from happiness because it was about Groundhog Day, which is such a fun and sweet movie that I love.
That movie's very inspiring because everything just keeps getting better and better as it goes along. And then, and then it's a nice ending, you know, like. Right.
Yeah, that's such a good point that it keeps getting better and better. You know, like nothing on earth does.
Yeah. Well, he uses that, you know, like unlike some people during the pandemic, Bill Murray used that time to learn some things about himself and, you know, and to pick up some skills, you know, like it's really, it's a very inspirational movie. Nikki Bone.
Hey.
Hi.
Hi. Well, I just can't believe that I didn't win.
I know, right? I tried to rig it and it didn't work out.
We're going to have to do this again. So I still have my podcast called Whoa Dad, where I teach my absentee dad who came back into my life how to be a father. And what else do I plug? I'm on YouTube, Nikki Bon, Instagram, Nikki Bon, and I will be in Portland. If you have Portland fans, I'll be there the 10th to the 13th performing, and that'll be on my website and Instagram, Nikki Bon.
What club are you at?
I'm doing independent shows. I'm doing Al's Den and Comedy Corral.
I'm sure there's some really good spots there that do that stuff because the comedy scene's great in Portland.
I haven't done it yet, so it's good to know.
Awesome. You're going to have a good time there, I think. For myself, my plugs, Doug Loves Movies and Wide World of Dougs are both coming to South by Southwest in Austin, Texas. And so if you have like a festival badge, you know, come try to see one of those shows. And then I'll be doing Doug Loves Movies at the Miami Improv on April 9th at 4:20. DougLovesMovies.com and Doug Loves Movies on Twitter. Thank you again to all of my guests, Nikki Bon and Josh Gondelman, Sarah Marshall. Great first time guest. Hope you'll come back sometime. And Josh, definitely, I need you to come back sometime. I'll hit you up about a future date because you have to return as champion. And awesome. And thank you, Nikki Bon. Nikki Bon, Josh Gondelman, Sarah Marshall. As always, we'll be in Miami in a few minutes.
Now it's time for Doug to watch another talkie. Eyes of Gold, his viewing prowess makes him cocky. There's no room in his heart